We're going to do Daf Chaf Ches in Pesachim. The Gemara, we're going to start from the two dots on Daf Chaf Ches and Aleph. And the Gemara says as follows. The Gemara is quoting the Mishnah. So if you look back at the Mishnah has a very interesting Lashon. The Mishnah's Lashon is, it's actually the first Mishnah of the Perek. It's the last words of the first Mishnah in the Perek, and it says that the Chachamim say that if you have chametz, you have to get rid of it. So instead of burning it, they say af mefar v'zayre l'ruach oy mata liyam. Those are his words. You have to spread. You have to mefar means to grind it down to nothing, and then you throw it out to the wind, or you throw it into the oceans. The Gemara has a very basic question. Yibayilahu. Hey Chikamar, what are we saying? In other words, is the word oy, that or, is the or going on the entire case, or is just giving a completely different option? Those are the two possibilities over here. Mefar v'zayir l'ruach, so either you grind it down and throw it into the wind, oy mefar umata liyam, or you grind it down and then you throw it into the ocean. That's one way to read the words in the Mishnah. Oy dilmor, maybe the way to read the Mishnah is like this, mefar v'zayir l'ruach, that you grind it down and you throw it into the wind. Avol, but or your other alternative is mataliyam beina, you just throw it into the ocean. In other words, you don't have to grind it down. You just throw it into the ocean as is, because when you throw it into the ocean, the chametz is going to get destroyed that way. So there's no need to grind it down. So basically what the Gemara is asking is there an additional need to grind down the chametz before you throw it into the ocean? V'tanan nami, gavi avaydazara, ki hai gavna, and by avaydazara also we have a very similar type of lashon, where the Gemishnah says the following, Rabbi Yosi Yomer, Seichik v'zayir l'ruach, that by Avodah Zarah, generally you're talking about a hard object, either wood or metal or something like that. So you have to, Seichik is the proper Lashon, it's not Mefar. Mefar is by Chometz, you can spread it out. But by metal, you have to grind it down, literally. So it says by Avodah Zarah, Seichik v'zorah l'ruach, you have to grind it down and throw it into the wind. Or you throw it into the Yam. Now, as we'll see in a second, this Yam over here is going to be the Yam HaMelech, the Dead Sea. So again, the Gemara uses the same lashon v'yiboyelahu, and the Gemara over there asks, and Avodah Zarah asks the same type of question. Hechi kamar, what does it mean to say over there? Soichik v'zayir l'ruach, that you grind it down, throw it into the wind. V'soichik umato liyam, and similarly, if you want to throw it into the yam, you also have to grind it down before you throw it into the yam. Oydilma soichik v'zayir l'ruach, or maybe one option is really you just grind it down and then throw it out into the wind, so that nobody can find it. Avamato liyam beine, but if you're going to throw it into the Yam HaMelech already, you can just throw it in as is, because nobody really travels on the Yam HaMelech. It's going to disintegrate. It's going to get completely destroyed in the Yam HaMelech. The Dead Sea is a very high acidic rate, so it's going to destroy it. There's no reason to grind it down first. So we have the same question by Chametz as we have by Avodah Zarah. So what's going to be the Psak? So interestingly, there's a Machlokes. So Amar Rabbah. So Rabbi answers, Mestavro Avodah Zarah to the Yam HaMelech Ka'ozlo. By Avodah Zarah, when you're throwing it into the ocean, you're not just throwing it into any body of water, you're throwing it specifically into the Yam HaMelech. So Loi Ba'ezchika, it doesn't need to be ground down anymore, because the Yam HaMelech, as we explained, has a much more powerful way of getting rid of objects, so it doesn't need to be ground down. Chametz, however, by chametz you're talking about regular bread. You're going to throw it into any body of water. So therefore, even if you're throwing it into a body of water, Rabbah says it still needs to be ground down first, because it's going to be because it's just going to go into a regular body of water. And Rashi explains someone can come by and pick it up and eat it. So therefore, we have to grind it down first. So I'm going to labor. Well, because it's that's a fact. The fact is that the. Nobody travels there, Rashi explains, because the boats can't exist on the Yam HaMelech. Nobody travels on the Yam HaMelech because it'll disintegrate the boat. The boats can't, because, and I'm telling you the reason behind all that is because of the acidity level. It'll just go straight through the metal of the boat, or the wood of the boat. So that's why it doesn't exist. But that's, it's what Rashi says, you're right. Rashi says because of the boats, and I'm explaining why there are no boats there in the first place. But you're right. The point is that there's nobody out there on the body of water, so once I throw it into the Yam HaMelech, nobody's going to find it. So it's not going to be a problem for us. So Amalei Rabbi Yosef says, Adar Rabbah. Rabbi Yosef argues on Rabbah's pshat that Rabbah basically said, by Avodah Zarah, there's no need to do anything extra to it, because no one's going to find it after I throw it into the Dead Sea. So Rabbi Yosef says, Adar Rabbah, Ipcha Mestavra, it's just the opposite. Avodah Zarah Duloy Misa. Avodah Zarah, if I throw it in, let's say it's a whole metal statue, a whole stone statue or something. I throw it in, nothing's going to happen to it. It may sink to the bottom of the ocean, and no one's going to find it, maybe. or typically. But lamaisa, it's going to stay there as it is, at least for some time. And if somebody goes by and somehow finds it, they're going to find it intact. So ba'yischika, that's why before I throw it in, I specifically do have to chop it down. Chametz, mamayis loy ba'yipir, but chametz on the other hand, you take a loaf of bread and you throw it into the ocean. And even if it's there intact, but lamaisa, it's no reason to break it down because it's completely, it is what it, you know, it's already, once it's soggy in the water, it's completely unusable. So there's no reason to do anything further with it. It's considered destroyed as soon as I throw it in. So you have Machlekes Rav and Rav Yosef, exactly opposite extremes of each other, whether there's a necessity to chop it down before I throw it into the water. The Gemara says, Tani Kavasa de Rabba, so I'll bring you a raya like Rabba. Tani Kavasa de Rav Yosef, I'll bring you a raya, a braisa that learns the way Rav Yosef learns. So let's see them. Tani Kavasa de Rabba, first we're going to learn like Rabba that says that by Avodah Zarah there's no need to do anything. So Hayam Mahalach B'midbar, if I'm walking in the desert. So Mafar Vazay Ruluach, everybody agrees that if I'm just going to throw it up into the wind, I have to chop it down. First, this is talking about by Chometz. Hayam Mahalach B'sfin, if I'm on a boat. Mafar Matal Yam. If I'm on a boat, so then I have to throw it, I have to, even by chametz, even if I'm throwing it into the water, I still have to chop it down, because remember, Rabba's Shita is that in the water, it's somebody can come by and pick it up, and if I don't tell you to, Rashi says, adds on very interesting, if I don't tell you to chop it down first, the problem is the person will think that I could throw it inside a bag, and inside the bag it'll remain intact. So therefore it's a real problem that somebody might find it on the ocean, so that's why I have to chop it down to nothing. That's Rabba's pshat. Tani Kavasa de Rav Yosef, and Rav Yosef's pshat is like this. Hayim Mahalach B'midbar, if I'm walking in the desert, Soichik, this is again talking about Avodah Zarah, Soichik V'Zarah L'Ruach, if I want to throw it up into the wind, I have to chop it down first. Hayim Mahalach B'Sfinah, but if I'm in a boat, Soichik U'mat Al-Yam. So we see that according to Rav Yosef, that even by Avodah Zarah, throwing it into the Yam HaMelech, I still have to break it down first. So the Gemara now says, Chika Kasha L'Rabba. According to the way Rabba learned by Avodah Zarah, there was no reason to chop it down. And here the Braisa says Beferish. Remember, this is a Braisa. It says Beferish that even throwing it into the ocean, I have to chop it down first. And Piru Kasha L'Rabbi Yosef. And according to Rabbi Yosef, there was no need to chop down your chametz first. So, and over here, the first Braisa said that you have to chop down your chametz. So the Gemara says, Shrika l'Rabba loy kasha. The fact that the Braisa says you have to chop down the Avodah Zarah, says, Holy Amamelech HaLashar Nahoris. He says, I can explain the Braisa, because the Braisa just says liyam. It doesn't explain in which yam. Now we assume that typically by Avodah Zarah, since in all other contexts of Avodah Zarah, we always talk about the Yam HaMelech, like we saw earlier in the block before, that when you're taking the value of the coin, you throw it into the Yam HaMelech. So he assumed that we're talking about Yam HaMelech. However, if the Braisa was really talking about a regular ocean, and Achanami, even Avodah Zarah, everybody would agree that it has to be chopped down first. Pirul Rabbi Yosef Loikash, and the other way around also, how come by Rabbi Yosef will say that I have to, why does the Braisa say that I have to chop down bread, or thought as soon as I throw it in, it's going to be destroyed? The Gemara says, Habachite Habanahama. It depends whether you're talking about wheat or you're talking about bread. If you're talking about wheat, it really won't get destroyed just because I'm throwing it into the ocean. Whereas bread, as we say, it gets soggy and it gets soaked into the ocean, the bread will get destroyed as soon as I throw it into the ocean. So it depends what the object is. As opposed to a kernel of wheat, a kernel of wheat can float on top of the ocean. You can strain it out, it won't be a problem. So therefore, even that, according to Rabbi Yosef, you would have to chop it down before you throw it into the ocean. Okay, so that's the Gemara on the first Mishnah of the second parak. Second Mishnah says the following. Chometz shel nachri, she'over alav ha-pesach. Let's say you have chometz that was in the possession of a goy, that was that you kept over Pesach. Mutar b'hano, you're allowed to even have hano from it. After Pesach, this is talking about, because obviously you're not going to want it on Pesach. You're allowed to eat it. It says mutar b'hano. We'll explain. V'shal Yisrael aser b'hano, but a Yisrael, a Yid's chometz that he kept over Pesach, you're not allowed to keep it. Shenemar lo yir lechoch saar. You're not allowed to have saar on Pesach. And the Gemara is going to explain what the pasuk is for and where the Yisr hano is. Now, I added on one very interesting thing. I said that even though the Mishnah says it's mutar b'hano by a goy, I added on the fact that you can actually eat it. So the Pirush Mishnayos, the Rambam explains very interesting to Pirush Mishnayos. He says that really the Mishnah should have said it's mutter to eat. However, so first the Pashup Shad is, since by a Yisroel it's going to not only be usher to eat, it's going to be usher bahana, so by a goy also we talked about mutter, we use the same lashon, we make it consistent, and we say that it's also mutter bahana, even though really it should have talked about mutter ba'achila, which is in one step earlier. Now the Pirush Mishnayos says something very interesting. He says the reason why the Mishnah didn't want to use the word mutter ba'achila by a goy is because, as we know, there's a chumrah of not to eat pas akum, that we don't eat bread that was baked by a goy. So if the Mishnah would have said mutter ba'achila, that would have been going against the minhag that some people have of not eating pas akum. So therefore it said mutter b'hano. Hano doesn't necessarily mean I'll eat it. The Mishnah didn't want to use a lashon saying mutter b'achila, telling you you can eat it even if there might be a problem of pasakum. So it said mutter b'hano, but we understand what the Mishnah meant. If pasakum isn't a problem, that it's even mutter to eat it. That's what the Pirush Mishnah Yisrael Rambam explains on this Mishnah. Now, we're going to get to the main question, which really is going to start here and is going to really run on to the next blot. Just to get to the question itself. It says, Mani Masnisan, who is the Tana of our Mishnah? Loi Rabbi Yehuda doesn't work out like Rabbi Yehuda, who says it's completely us, or Loi Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says it's mutter after Yontif, Loi Rabbi Yosef Aglili, and our Mishnah doesn't fit like Rabbi Yosef Aglili, who says it's even mutter on Yontif itself. Okay, now, first, I just told you what the Kasha is, but now the Gemara is not going to get there for a while. Mahi, what is this Brisa that where these Shitas are listed? The Tanya we learned in the Brisa. Chometz, Ben Lifnei Zmanoi, Ben La'achar Zmanoi, meaning whether it's before Pesach or after Pesach, before Pesach meaning after the 6 hours, but before Yontif actually starts, or after Pesach, over a love about belav. According to Rabbi Yehuda Shita, you're over on, if you eat chametz even before Pesach, there's a lav. Toich zmane on Pesach itself, over a love belav vikaris. On Pesach itself, there's obviously a lav, and there's even karis for a person who eats chametz on Pesach. Rabbi Yehuda. That's Rabbi Yehuda Shita. Now, so we say Rabbi Yehuda Shita is that chametz even after Pesach is completely usur. Under all circumstances. Rav Shimon says, not very interesting. Chametz lefnei zmane before Pesach, la'achar zmane, or after Pesach, eino oiver lovelei klum. It's nothing. Not a problem at all. Toich zmane, that's where he agrees and says, on Pesach itself, oiver lovelei belav uvakaris. Again, he also agrees, vakaris uvalav, he says that on Pesach itself, also there's a problem of chametz on Pesach. Now, just to continue the lashon that we had, mishasha aser ba'achila, that which we say that once it's aser to eat chametz, aser ba'hano, you're not allowed to have hano either. That's aser l'tanakama. That really only goes according to Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. That is an iser hano. That is an iser achila even before Pesach. So the iser hano starts then also. That's not really going. Rabbi Shimon is not really going on that shita. Okay, that's an aside for now. We'll get back to that later. Now. The Gemara is the third shita that we have to explain. Is Rabbi Yosi Aglili Yomer. Rabbi Yosi Aglili says Tom Alatzmachal. He doesn't understand this whole concept, which is not a very popular shita in Shas, but we quote it a few times. He says, I don't. You should be in wonderment on, by yourself. Hey chometz osur b'hanah kol shiva. It's one thing to say that something is osur b'hanah for a little bit, but to say that it's osur not only osur to eat, but it's osur b'hanah for 7 days. That doesn't make any sense. So therefore, Rabbi Yosi Aglili held that it was never osur b'hanah even on Pesach itself, which is clearly not our Mishnah. Now the Gemara goes back and let's take this apart a little bit. Now, according to Rabbi Yehuda Shita, that it's the Isser starts from the 6 hours before Pesach. So how do we know that if you eat chametz even starting from 6 hours before Pesach, that there's a lav? Because the pasuk says, you're not allowed to eat chametz when you bring a carbon Pesach. So therefore, and we can bring the carbon Pesach already starting from Chatzos, the Erev Pesach. So therefore, you're not allowed to eat chametz already starting from Chatzos. That's Rabbi Yehuda Shita. Because remember, Rabbi Yehuda Shita is that the Isser starts even Erev Pesach. Amalei Rabbi Shimon. So Rabbi Shimon says, V'chi efsher loymar kein. Are you able to say really that the Isser starts Erev Pesach? But let's really look at all the psukim together. V'haloi kvar nemar. The pasuk says, Loisach alav chometz. You're not allowed to eat chometz shivas yomim toichal alav matzahs. You have to eat matzah for 7 days. So what do you mean you're not allowed to eat chametz? So we explain, we put it together. When you have a chiyuv to eat matzah, yeshna b'baal toichal chometz. That's when you have a chiyuv, an iser to eat chametz. But if you have no chiyuv particularly to eat matzah, so then you have no chiyuv, you have no iser in eating chametz. Therefore, since Erev Pesach, there is no chiyuv specifically to eat matzah, therefore there's also no chiyuv or iser to eat chametz. Oh, so that's a very good taina that Reb Shimon has based on all the psukim. My time at the Rabbi Yehuda. So where does Rabbi Yehuda get, according to this drasha? So where did Rabbi Yehuda get the extra iser that applies even Erev Pesach? So the Gemara answers, because he really has three psukim to get this together. It says, lo yoichal chometz, you're not allowed to eat chometz, lo yimach metzes, and even chometz that became chometz, lo yisoichal, you're not allowed to eat it, lo yisoichal, lo chometz, you're not allowed to eat chometz when you have matzah in front of it, or carbon Pesach. So we darshan chad lefnei zmane, one is the three psukim, one represents before Pesach starts, v'chad l'achar zmane, one represents even after Pesach is over, v'chad l'tach zmane, and the third pasuk is telling us, even on Pesach itself, there is an iser, l'lav there also. So we have three psukim. Now, Rav Shimon, Reb Shimon, what does he do with these three psukim? Because he holds there's only an Isser on Pesach itself. He says, Chad l'toich zmane. First of all, we say that it's talking about on Pesach itself. That clearly the Isser is talking about. V'chol machmetzes, now this pasuk that says that any way it became chometz is osur, is not really talking about Erev Pesach. Miboy le l'kitetanya, he really needs that pasuk to teach us a completely different drasha, which is, Ein li'elo shenes chametz me'elov. I only know chametz that became chametz from sitting around. It became chametz by itself, so I understand the Yisra applies to it. How do I know that if something else caused it to become chametz, maybe it's not really what the Torah said is osur. Maybe it's only osur if it became chametz by itself. So that's why Talmud Lamer, that's what the pasuk says. That anyway it became chametz, it doesn't matter how. That's what that extra pasuk is telling us. It's not telling us anything about Erev Pesach. It's telling us how the chametz itself became chametz. No matter how it became chametz, it's going to be osur. Now, what does he do with the third pasuk that we quoted? Loyochel chametz, that you not eat chametz when you have a carbon. He needs that also for a completely different drasha. We learned in the Brisa, Rabbi Yosi Aglila Omer, Rabbi Yosi Aglila says, Minayin lePesach Mitzrayim Shein Chimutzu Noyeg Elo Yoim Echad. How do we know that in Mitzrayim, when they kept Pesach, they only had the Isser of Chametz for one day? Talmud Lomer Lo Yoichel Chametz. It says you can't eat Chametz. This is Moshe Rabbeinu's command, don't eat Chametz. V'samach Lei. And right next to it says, Hayoyim Atem Yoitzim, you're going out of Mitzrayim today. So we darshan, that means only today there was an Isser Chametz, but after that, the other seven days, there was no Isser Chametz for them in Mitzrayim. So of Rabbi Yehuda, what does Rabbi Yehuda learn? How does he know this drasha that in Mitzrayim they only had one day? He says, Machmas Tavaracham Inole. Now, first of all, going back to the first thing. The first drasha was Machmas Tavaracham Inole. How does he know that chametz that became chametz caused by something else also has a din of chametz? So he says, Mida Afke Rachman Abeloshim Machmetzes. First of all, the pasuk is Be'etzem extra to teach us Erev Pesach. But the fact that the Torah said it in a very unique way, Machmetzes, it's coming to tell us that even it became chametz from something else, also the Isser Chametz applies to that, so he agrees, so to speak, with Reb Shimon's drasha. Plus, he holds us an extra pasuk to teach us Erev Pesach. Now, in the second drasha, the Rabbi Yosi Aglili Minoli, how does he know that in Mitzrayim they only kept Pesach for one day? They only had chametz for one day, Isser chametz. So, Iba Yisayim Amidu Samach LeHayom. So, first, either he darshans the word Hayom, which is the smichus. Rabbi Yehuda darshans the smichus, and that itself, even though again the pasuk is available to teach us after Pesach, but it's still extra to teach the word Hayom is to teach us that in Mitzrayim it only applied that day. Iba Yisayim. Another answer is smuchim de loy darish, that Rabbi Yehuda really doesn't agree with that. You know, Rabbi Yosi Aglila has a very nice drasha that in Mitzrayim they only kept Pesach for one day, but Rabbi Yehuda doesn't agree. He says meichatesa, he doesn't darshan this pasuk at all, and therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, this or chametz might even have applied a couple of extra 7 days in Mitzrayim. All right, now back to the brisa itself. We're still explaining all the various shita. So we said that starting from, this is the brisa we quoted earlier, that if we start eat chametz after the sixth hour, there's a loisasei shenemer, loisachal alav chametz, that you're not allowed to eat chametz when the carbon Pesach is in front of you. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So Amalei Rav Shimon, Rav Shimon answered, V'chayav shaloi merkein. But Rav Shimon had an answer to this. He says, how could you say that? V'haloi kfar nemer loisachal alav chametz, shivas yom, toichal alav matzos. It says that you only have a chiyuv to an isser to eat chametz when you have a chiyuv to eat matzah, and matzah only applies during the 7 days. So how did you bring a pasuk that applies even erev Pesach before there is a chiyuv matzah? So that's Reb Shimon's answer. To which the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda shapar kamalei Reb Shimon. So how does Rabbi Yehuda answer this? Reb Shimon Taka has a good point. Where answers Rabbi Yehuda, I'm alecha. Rabbi Yehuda would answer for you, ha'hu l'kvaya choyva afilu bizman hazeh. It's coming to teach us a different drasha. It's coming to say that even nowadays that we don't have a carbon Pesach, there still is a chiyuv to eat matzah and an isser de chametz, even nowadays, even without the carbon Pesach. Why? So that's why we need, that's why the pasuk is coming to tell us that Shivas Yamim applies no matter what. So how does Reb Shimon know, Taka, that nowadays we have a chiyuv matzah today also? Nafgalei mi be'erev teichlu. He has a different pasuk that says that you have to eat at night. You have to eat matzah, and he means to darshan that even if you don't have a korban Pesach, you still have to eat matzah. Oh, so why isn't Rabbi Yehuda darshan that? Rabbi Yehuda mi bo'elei. Rabbi Yehuda says no. That pasuk is coming to teach us something else. the Tomei, it's coming to teach us that even somebody who's Tomei, that even in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, if he's Tomei, he would not eat the Korban Pesach. He still has a chiv to eat matzah. Or somebody who's far away from the Beis HaMikdash, again, he had an excuse, a heter, not to eat the Korban Pesach. He still has a chiv to eat matzah. Why? Since he's not eating the Korban Pesach, matzah umar nami, he shouldn't eat matzah umar either. Okay, that's what the Pasuk is coming to tell me, Be'erev, that you have to eat matzah on Erev Pesach, on the night of Pesach, no matter what. Okay, that's Rabbi Yehuda's drasha, so he doesn't have Rabbi Shimon's drasha of, so he doesn't need Rabbi Shimon's drasha to teach us that there's a chayva specifically on Pesach itself. Of Rabbi Shimon, Tamei b'shahayi b'derech chayka lo yitzrach kro. So why doesn't Rabbi Shimon need the pasuk of mi be'erev the way Rabbi Yehuda darshans the pasuk, and then he has an extra pasuk like Rabbi Yehuda to tell us that applies even Erev Pesach? So Rabbi Yehuda says lo yitzrach kro because I don't need the pasuk mi be'erev to teach us that. Deloy gar mi aro lo ben necher. Because it's no different. There are other exceptions to the rule that don't bring a Korban Pesach and still have a chiyuv matzah, like an aral, somebody whose brothers, according to Rashi, died from milah, so therefore they never had a milah. Lamaisa, they're an aral. They may not have a chiyuv to do a bris because their brothers died and it's a sakana for them. However, lamaisa, they never had a bris. They can't eat a Korban Pesach. Also, a goy is not allowed to eat a Korban Pesach. Tachsiv, as the pasuk says, v'chol aral ayoychol boy. So we say an aral, someone who didn't have a bris, is not allowed to eat a Korban Pesach. And we darshan boy who ain't oichel, he doesn't eat the Korban Pesach. Aval oichel who b'matzah b'maror, but he does eat matzah and maror. So that's where Rabbi Yehuda knows these various halachas that somebody who's putter from the Korban Pesach still has a chiv to eat matzah. Oh, Rabbi Yehuda. So why isn't Rabbi Yehuda darshan similar to Reb Shimon, and therefore doesn't need the pasuk mi be'erev to teach us a tamei? So he says Rabbi Yehuda k'siv b'hai. So Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's written in both places. It's written in the pasuk. It's written by Oral and Goy, and it's also written by Tami. Now all of this is to explain the brisa, to explain the machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, and a little bit of Rabbi Yosi Aglili also about whether or not there's an iser to eat chametz on Erev Pesach. Finally, the Gemara asks Mani Mas Nisan. Finally, the Gemara gets back to the original kasha and says, okay, now that we know all the different shitas, the problem is which one of these shitas is going to fit, because there are only three choices. Either it's always usur, it's usur only on Pesach, or it's never usur at all. It's one of those three shitas. So which one of those shitas fits with our Mishnah? Because Mani Mas Nisan, I Rabbi Yehuda. So if it's Rabbi Yehuda, chametz stomacha amar. Our Mishnah says Rabbi Yehuda's shita is that all chametz is asr no matter what, including a goy. So that's a problem, because our Mishnah obviously makes a clear distinction between a goy and a yid. Afilu denach, right? The Gemara says even a goy, according to Rabbi Yehuda's shita, l'chayre chametz is asr. It should be asr even on Erev Pesach. I Rabbi Shimon, the Yisrael nami Mishnah kashari. According to Rabbi Shimon, even Erev Pesach, a Yisrael's, and after Pesach, it's mutter. So our Mishnah says after Pesach, it's asr. So our Mishnah doesn't fit with Rabbi Shimon's shita. The Rabbi Yosi Aglili, and according to Rabbi Yosi, afilu toich zman, nami Mishnah kashari. So Rabbi Yosi Aglili bahano. Rabbi Yosi Aglili is completely off the charts, because he holds even on Pesach, it's mutter bahano. So it's clearly not a Mishnah that's discussing the Isser after Pesach. So that's like beyond from our Mishnah's perspective. So in any event, we have a problem. Who's the Tana of our Mishnah? So we'll just do the first teretz of the Gemara. The teretz is as follows. Amar Rav Acha bar Yaakov, we're on the top of Chavtes and Aleph now. So Amar Rav Acha bar Yaakov, la'ulam, Rabbi Yehuda, it's really Rabbi Yehuda Shita that it should be also to everybody. However, v'yalv sa'or da'achilim u'sa'or da'ri'iyah. The thing is that there's an iser of re'iyah's chametz, you're not allowed to see chametz, and we already darshan, ma sa'or da'ri'iyah shalchoya ta'roya avalat ta'roya shalachayrim v'shal gavaya. We already darshaned earlier in the Masechta that when it comes to seeing chametz on Pesach, it's only usur if it's yours. If it belongs to a goy, or hektish, but primarily here, for our purposes, if it belongs to a goy, it's not usur on Pesach. Av'sa'or da'achilim shalchoya. So when it comes to eating the chametz after Pesach, we say the similar drasha. But you're allowed to eat if it belongs to a guy after Pesach. Who? Also. Now, really, if we're talking about what's mutter to eat, we should have really said, we should have been talking about eating in our Mishnah. We should have discussed what's mutter to eat. So since the end of the Mishnah talks about a yid, and the yid's chametz that was over Pesach is even not only asr to eat, but it's even asr b'hanah. So tana nami denachri mutter b'hanah. So when we discuss a guy, we discuss it in context in terms of whether it's mutter or asr b'hanah. That's the first point. And really, if we're darshaning this drasha, if it belongs to a goy, we're learning out of the pasuk of Sa'ar, just like I'm not allowed to see my chametz, but I'm allowed to see a goy's chametz, so too by the Yisr Hana, also it should apply that I'm not allowed to have Hana from my chametz, but I am perfectly allowed to have Hana from a goy's chametz, even on Pesach. So we say like this. Even during Pesach itself, that when it comes to a goy's chametz, I'm allowed to have anah, I'm allowed to sell it. But by Yisrael, the chiddush is that a yid, it's even aser b'hanah, even after Pesach. So we discuss by a goy also that it's even after Pesach, it's going to be mutter b'hanah. But really, according to this first tirus of the Gemara, it could have discussed on Pesach itself. Because on Pesach itself, a goy's, based on our drasha, a goy's chametz is completely mutter. It's completely mutter b'hano. Obviously, you can't eat it because then you can't eat it.
Rashi says you can eat it.
You can even eat it. Well, you can't eat it because you can eat a goy's chametz.
According to Rashi, Tosfos argues on it. But Rashi's...
Okay. Yeah, you're right. So Rashi says, "Afachil v'afil b'pesach minatayr." Right, if it belongs to the guy. Okay, I don't know how that happens exactly, but
Tosfos says it's a technical problem that you can't
eat it. Fine. But Rashi does say you're right. The last wide line of Rashi on the top says, "Af ba'achilo," that it's even mutter ba'achilo, even on Pesach. Again, you can't eat it because then it becomes yours. Fine, technical problem. But l'maisa, based on this drasha, just like seeing the chametz of a guy on Pesach would be completely mutter, then even eating it theoretically would be completely mutter. Okay, so we'll pick up here in Meretz Hashem next time.